Today I'm going to talk about my frustrations with the government schools and their lack of response to the requirement, the legal requirement to provide appropriate education to all students, no matter their special needs. I'll tell you just a few of the stories of our family to show you that I know what you all are going through now. But we've done this for some decades, and I have come to what I think you'll find is a surprising conclusion. So last time I talked about holding people accountable and the necessity to be a mother bear. I could have done more. I had an example in my father, who was an attorney. He held people accountable. But then I had a very different example in my mother, who taught me to always be nice. So I've talked a little bit about that last time. Yes, sometimes it's appropriate to be mama bear. But I think it's time to think more deeply, to talk about what it is to be mother lioness and father lion, right, together in a pride. And so I'm going to talk to you about what I think now at my stage of life, what's most fundamental. So let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody. This is Overcoming Learning Problems, sponsored by the Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry. I saw on Facebook recently a post that, from the depths of a mother's heart, asked if there wasn't somebody, some philanthropist, who would fund the necessary legal fees that it would take to get special needs accommodations out of the public school system. You understand? So she's asking for funding because to get any help for her special needs child out of a public school, she's going to need legal way more than her family can provide. You understand? This post reminded me of the difficulty of the emotional slams of the impossibilities that I faced with my daughter. And I hope that my response wasn't too abrupt, because I came to it after years, decades. But I was faced with this, and I was faced with this in a number of places, but finally it was in a town of about 2,500 people, so we knew what was going on. We knew the players in the public school, and we knew the players in the legal community, and I had already been a veteran of this fight for many years. And finally, a lawyer with whom I was consulting said to me, "It would take less money for you to procure your daughter's education than it would to pay an attorney to walk with her from class to class." And that is what it's going to take, an attorney to walk with her from class to class, to get this school system to follow the law. He said, if you could spend that much money, you probably wouldn't have any to spend on her college, which of course was true. He said, do you not see that private education is going to be a better option. And so I took my daughter out of the public school that was harming her academically, no question. And I began to homeschool her. And I look back and I could only slap my head, like, why didn't I see that myself? Because I am an educator myself, and I wasn't overwhelmed like so many people are, and reasonably are. And I just simply took my college text or the state adopted text and the methodologies of teaching that I knew, and I combined them for what my daughter needed, and she shot ahead with so much less angst and so few hours. So in just a few hours a day, she was shooting ahead and being happy. Whereas before, it was 2 hours before school and many hours after school that I was helping her. I don't know what was going on at school, but it wasn't teaching. Anyway, and it was crying all the time and never any time to have a good life. I became an expert in the law at that time. And I may have told you about this one instant, but here I was. Okay, first off, I remember facing the superintendent, I think, who was trying to intimidate me and snare me down like I had been a bad girl. Well, I knew I hadn't been a bad girl, and I knew she wasn't following the law. And I had brought my husband, right? This is often what helped then. And finally, I turned to my husband. I said, it looks like we're going to need an attorney. And he said, yeah. And boy, her attitude changed on a dime. So at that time, the law also provided that if you prevail in court, that the school system has to pay attorney fees. But it really didn't matter because nothing changed. Even when we were able to get an RD, we couldn't get an IEP written in standard English. That was beyond the quote-unquote school counselor. And even when we got the IEP, it wasn't followed. And it was clearly punitive. They wouldn't let her go ahead in math when she had problems in English. It was insane. Also, another time I wanted to tell you about is I was sitting there in the ARD. I was sitting there wearing my Phi Beta Kappa key. If you don't know what that is, of course, it's a pin. A pin. So I was wearing it as a brooch. And it is the symbol that you are a member of Phi Beta Kappa, which is the most prestigious academic sorority / fraternity. It's a fraternity, but it's not just for men, okay? It's the most prestigious academic fraternity in this country. And I am a member of it, okay? And normally one doesn't wear that pin, right? Just like one doesn't normally wear one's Mensa brooch. But anyway, I wore it to that ARD meeting, which is, I assume it's the same in all states, but that's the official meeting to decide special needs. The IEP, the Individualized Education Plan. Anyway, and I sat there with the statutes we were working under photocopied in a binder. And they tried to pull the wool over my eyes and violate the law when the statutes were in front of me. And they treated me like I was ignorant. Like I was asking that I wanted to know what the assignments were, the homework assignments. I wanted to know them. And they acted as if I didn't know how to do them. which you see is a very different thing. And I finally said in exasperation, no, I know how to do the homework, but I don't read minds. I don't know what is assigned. And why are you keeping this hidden? And they had no answer for that, right? They're used to obfuscation. They're used to disrespectful behavior. They're used to a fortress mentality. And I'm talking about what this was 1990, 1991. And I had already been used to, my daughter was in high school by that time. I had been dealing with this for so many years by that time. Anyway, so I left that meeting, and I was then at another civic meeting of some sort, and I happened to sit beside somebody who was high up in the school system, and I told her about this at a coffee break, and she said, mm-hmm. I said, they treated me like an ignorant campesino. So this was Texas. This was indeed West Texas, where everybody speaks Spanish, right? And so that was... those were the words that I had to use. It wasn't a racial thing. It was just, that's what the words that I had. When you're in Texas, when you're in Houston, you use Yiddish words because that's how people talk. Anyway, so they treated me like an ignorant campesino. If you don't know Spanish, that means like I was a hayseed, like I didn't know anything, like I'd never been to school, right? Campesino means a country person. Okay, so... and she was black. She said, just imagine if you had been of color. She said, mm-hmm. And just imagine if you had been of color. So I saw her point that I wasn't discriminated against because of my ethnic background. I was just treated badly because I was parent. And because they had no idea what a Phi Beta Kappa key was. And they had no concept of what the law was, even though it was there on the table, and they didn't care. Okay, well, that was 1990, and I solved my problem by homeschooling my child, and then we had similar problems with our grandchildren. I don't want to tell you about them, but they're worse, at because they were just outright abuse and outright obvious special needs, not simply learning disabilities. And worse. I will tell you one of those with my grandsons, my older grandson. The principal of the school said, our parents trust us so they don't come into this building. So what she's saying is, because my very first lessons in child development, both in high school and my first college course, child development, if a school doesn't want parents observing, then something wrong is going on in that school. That's what I was taught back to the 70s. Okay, so, and that's what this principal was telling me. So it wasn't very long that my grandson was in that school. We purchased private education for him. And my younger grandchildren were in a better, reputed to be better public system, and there was just obvious abuse right in smack dab in my daughter's face. So I don't talk about them for reasons, you know, of their safety, but it's hard for me not to come to the conclusion that public educators want to harm children. It is obvious. But, I know that people go in well-intentionedly. Well, many people go into public school, teach because they think it's easy profession, fewer hours. But many people go in because they care about kids, but they get sucked and twisted by the system. But the system clearly does want to harm the academic standard of the population, and the system does harm children, and the policies are now intended. And I remember when I was in the third grade and there was talk about the Girl Scouts being communist, and I thought that was so stupid. I was a Girl Scout, and you know, at 10 I could see, you know, calling the Girl Scouts pinko was just stupid. But now, just now, this is 2023 when I'm talking to you, I'm beginning to read documents of incremental and intended communist takeover, and I am shocked. I taught sociology, and I do not realize this, but there is evidence here. Anyway, so this morning I was listening to a podcast entitled Exposed by a young woman who is associated in some form with a Texas scorecard. So she's talking about the dark side of the public school. And I heard a couple of, more than a couple, several instances at Prosper ISD. This is Prosper is a portion of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and some other things. And I am disposed to believe what I'm hearing because I have experience and because the world has progressed in a downward fashion since I had experience with it. And I hear about parents at school board meetings, and they were, a few years ago, the FBI said that they're terrorists, domestic terrorists, because they want to have some public input in a democratic fashion, in an orderly fashion, in what's supposed to be a public, democratically overseen school system. And I know of instances within the past 3 years here in the metro where I live today where well-intentioned and educated and orderly and law-abiding people who have been trying to hold some accountability, who are trying to hold the school board accountable, have been ushered out when it was obvious that the school board was on the criminal side. And quite aside from the porn, which has swamped our nation. And now we're hearing of not just a few, but 1,000. And I'm seeing how the security and the police are mishandling the situation. And it's frightening. It's nothing short of frightening. And Dinesh D'Souza is talking about a police state. And this is where we are, folks. But I am here on Overcoming Learning Problems to help you help your children overcome their learning problems. I'm telling you all this so you know I know. And sometimes, you know, I get swamped. I have a higher capacity for bad news than I think most people do because I'm a sociologist. And because in many cases today I'm not directly affected, but I've just about had it with the bad news. We're in the fight for our lives in this nation. And we do need to do some things. But straight talk, mother to mother, your first duty is mothering. And what you do as an individual to be righteous and godly, and what you do individually to be happy and sane, and what you do to transmit that to your child, and then what you do for academics, is extremely valuable in this fight. And no matter what political or political wins or professional achievements you make, without that foundation, it won't matter very much. When you work in the political arena, if you work according to the way we've been taught, it becomes swallowed up by a black hole. It does. You align yourself with a party, and then the party takes your concerns and your efforts and doesn't meet your mission. This is what happens. Now, there are some people who are suggesting some lawful and unconventional things, and that might work. But folks, I think that's more of the men's bailiwick. I hate to say it. But we women, our first duty, well, everybody's first duty is to take care of themselves, to be righteous themselves. And when you speak the truth, you make a difference. When they make us speak in political correct speech, when they make us speak communist speak, globalist speak, then when you frame the conversation that way, you determine the outcome. There is a destination in every definition. So first off, speak truth. Speak truth. Don't let them overcome you with words. And then do truth. Be an honest person. And probably you're going to need supernatural help from God to do that in this world. And then teach your children. Teach your children. Pass along a godly culture to your children. Nothing will substitute. And then you can provide education amazingly inexpensively. But not everybody can homeschool. And so there is a vast expansion of private education. If you are part of a church, please go to teachyourchildchangeyournation.org. And if you can't start a licensed child care center, then please commend that to the people who can at your church. It takes appropriate building, and that's why I'm suggesting if you go to church. So much of the church is apostate, but still the records show, even among the apostate churches, that their child care centers are vastly better than the government-run ones. And it's obvious from Mrs. Clinton's work that it was expected that the public schools, the government schools, would take over child care. This must not happen. And so I have a book about that. The Government is Not a Village, which I answer her chaotic book in an orderly fashion. It's all old news now because everybody's concerned about porn. And you can work very long at that, but they are entrenched. And Expose shows that. So, you know, hail and well met to Exposed about the Texas schools. And don't imagine that it's Texas is somehow different. My daughter went to school both north and south of the Mason-Dixon, both east and west of the Mississippi, in small districts and large districts, and they are all the same. They go to the same teachers' colleges. It's the same nonsense. It's the same fortress mentality, and it was decades ago. It's worse now because there are people who are not ashamed of blatant ungodliness and in your face, and they'll even post it on social media. And if they find somebody who'll speak back to them in a civil way, then, and they can't intimidate them with ugly behavior, then they'll just unfriend them, X them out, you know, cancel them. Well, don't be canceled. Every time you speak the truth, you encourage somebody. Discourage demon. All right. But you can see my technique here is once you pull yourself out of the game, and it is, it's a distraction game. It takes your energy. Then you need help as to overcoming. And so it's not that this podcast is simply Pollyanna. It's because this is faith. And we overcome kingdoms by our faith. Let's see, that's Hebrews 11:33, I think. Anyway, we overcome by our faith. So that's my position here, is I'm trying to give faith to discouraged mothers in particular, but educators and parents and students. Because if you don't have faith, you won't reach for the answer. And there are a lot of answers. And when I find a good answer, then I share it with you. I interview somebody who has a good answer. And you can take the solutions that you need for your problem. I just wanted to let you know that I know what you're going through out there, that somebody has been over that territory before. And yes, somebody needs to work on the political front. This needs to happen. Somebody needs to be a reporter about it. Yes, but that's going to take a long time, longer than it will take for your child to grow up and be educated. So procure some education for your child. Either homeschool or micro school or big school. And once you graduate from that, be part of the solution by running a school. And if you need help with that, I can help. If you are running a school and you're running into problems, orgstrat.net. Organizational Strategies is my consulting firm, orgstrat.net. If your church is capable of founding a licensed child care center, teachachildchangeanation.org. If you want a micro school and need help, call me and I'll put you in touch. It really is so simple, you can't even believe it. And I'll put you in touch with the resources that you need. And please, please share this. Do not let this broadcast, this one light in the darkness, be put under a bushel at the bottom of the ratings because nobody shared it. You know, once my ratings were pretty high because I was an early adopter of podcasting. But now there are many other podcasters, and something like Exposed is going to get the views immediately. And Texas Scorecard runs a variety of not just legal, but media outlets. Hallelujah. Power to them. And that needs to happen. But this is a special godsend. It's a special godsend, literally, to you, to mothers who need to have help. And I've been doing this out of the goodness of my heart, which needs to stop. Okay, so share this. I'm no longer a 501c3. You can send me money. But share it. That's what's important. And do what it takes to take care of your child, because that's your first responsibility. But I have good news for you, that God wants total well-being for all children. So take heart. God is reaching out to you. Reach out to God, and then with the other hand to your child. And then once your child is grown, is standing, and can reach God themselves, reach out to some more children. Will you please join me? Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
Now, if you're just beginning to consider homeschooling, go to the website at overcominglearningproblems.org and check out the episodes I have there specifically designed to answer that. And also get my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom, so you can click through on the website and get it printed and sent to your... Of course, if we've helped you, please like, share, comment, review, and tell your friends. Okay? And if you don't want to do online at all, great. Just send me a check. Sharon Sarles, S-A-R-L-E-S, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And if you want to email me, it's info@greatshalom.org. Great like big, G-R-E-A-T, Shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M. info@greatshalom.org. Be blessed.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
30. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. And this podcast is found wherever you find podcasts. If you're not finding it, let me know. Okay. And please share it. Thank you very much.